Welcome. My name is Ted Pavlik. This is IE 475, simulating stochastic systems. Is that bright enough in here? I think I thought this might be the best I can do. I might be able to turn these off, but I'm gonna get too dark in here. So this is a so the idea here is that today we'll briefly introduce the course. The course policies, getting to kind of the main content next week. There is a lab for this course that is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This week, the lab is basically a syllabus quiz. And so those of you, missed it on Tuesday, it's okay because this today there'll be no in-person lab experience. So you don't have to go to that spot on your schedule for today, and we'll talk about the labs here. But instead, in place of the lab, there is an online syllabus activity that you'll end up doing in order to unlock the rest of the course. And so we'll get into that. But at least for today's schedule, and I'll repeat this later for those who might come in a little late, that this the only obligation for this course is the lecture today. Okay, so remember to check the syllabus. About everything I say here is in much more detail on the syllabus and on Canvas. Let me see if I can step out here a little bit. Okay. So along with that, Canvas, how do we navigate it? There's a lot of information on Canvas. And the first thing I'm going to do is going to step through the main places to find things so that it's not quite as overbearing or overwhelming as it might immediately look. So the biggest thing here is to look, I store about everything under modules. When in doubt, you can definitely find it under modules. Sometimes you can, the assignments, you can find things there, but all of that is also already under modules. And so pretty much everything you're going to need is under modules. That's a great place to go when you're looking for things. If you drill down into modules, then you'll find that there's a lot of information there. So the first thing that I recommend that you would do is click on that collapse all so that you can just get down to these section headings here to sort of see how things are organized. If we do look into that, the way things are basically structured is course information at the top, and then kind of content information down here, kind of at the bottom. This intermediate section kind of groups things by assignments, but these assignments also, as I'll show you, show up in all these things down here. So once upon a time, I only had one of these, and students said, well, sometimes it would be nice if I could, things could be kind of interdigitated with the course curriculum. So I said, okay, well, then I'll put all the assignments down here as well. So there's a lot of redundant information or a lot of multiple places to see things. So again, hit that collapse all. If you don't, you can scroll right by this stuff if you want to go straight to the units, or you can, just get all access it here. And this is kind of a, takes the place of the assignments that are up here. So it looks like a lot, but a lot of it is because it's been duplicated. I do get questions about honors contracts. If you want to find, information about how to do an honors contract here, if you open up this course information, there's an honors contract page in there. Have a read of that first. And then after you have a read of that, then feel free to email me to discuss honors contracts for those that are interested in that. We scroll down a little bit farther than that. So the units that are down here, these things are organized. So all of the lectures are inside there. All of the related homeworks and other assignments are also inside there. Again, it's sort of repeated there. So, next week, Unit A, that's kind of this week as well. All of that's underneath this heading here. So, the first, so homework B1, you'll find here in this unit. So everything is also in these units. So it's up top as well as down here. So you can ignore the ones that you don't ever use. Hopefully, I know it's just makes for a long module list, but hopefully when you do need to find things, it'll be clear where to find them. But at least at first, highly recommend hitting that collapse all and then finding the unit that you need to go into and then drilling down into that. So the way this course is set up, it is a 4-credit hour course. So it's got a lab in it. So there are 2 75-minute lectures, Tuesday and Thursday, and then this 150-minute lab. Now, this lab, the way I've designed it is it's sort of almost a flipped design for the labs. And so I'll get into this a little bit more throughout this, but you're not going to go to the labs to receive a lab lecture. All of the labs have been pre-recorded and are available right now. The lab sections are meant to give you face time with the TA for getting assistance with the labs. So if you find you don't need assistance, you don't need to go to that lab section that week. So there's no required lab attendance, but the computers in the labs are guaranteed to have all the software that we use in this course. So we use Rockwell Automation's Arena, a simulation software platform. We use Excel. We use a program called NetLogo. It's an agent-based modeling tool. So all of those tools are guaranteed to be in the lab computers. But we also have the Oporto virtual labs, which are getting better and better. Sometimes they're a little sluggish if there's a lot of students using them, but we're working on making them better to give you that remote access to those. And the student version of Arena is also available for you to download on your own machines. Only catch is it's a Windows-only software package. And so if you want to use Arena, you either need to have access to, we have them in the engineering lab. So the Brickyard labs have Arena available to them. The virtual Oporto, which I'll talk a little bit more about, has it available on them. And of course, the M111 lab for this has it available on there. So if you can get access to it at home, then you feel free to use it. If you don't feel like you need the FaceTime with the TA for help, then you don't need to go to that lab section. So it is a 4-credit-hour course because I'm asking you to do work for the lecture as well as for the lab, but you don't necessarily have to spend that 150 minutes in that time. But so just making that clear. So today, there's no lab obligation. Next week, if you feel like you need help with that lab assignment, you should absolutely feel free to get and to talk to the TA and work through it or work in groups and so on during that time. But if you find the next week's lab assignment you can do on your own, you don't need to worry about showing up for the lab. Okay. So we'll get into more of that, just kind of giving you a brief idea here. If you do need to contact me, Canvas messaging is fine. Slack is fine. If you email me, which is great, I'm in my 40s and so I love email. And so the subjects, please prefix them with the course. I get a lot of emails. I teach another course that's about twice as big as this one. So I get a lot of different students emailing me. And then, a grad course. And then I've got research stuff as well. And if you prefix this, then little robots in my mailbox will make sure that I see your email very quickly. Otherwise, you can get kind of buried and lost. So it's great if you actually tell me the subject too, so I can know kind of how urgent it is. But at least if you can at least put this in the subject somewhere, if not anything else, then that's great because I can prioritize that. So please do that. Or use Canvas messaging, that's fine too, or Slack, that's fine as well. So that's how to get in contact. There is a TA. And so any lab assignment that, so there's going to be homework assignments and there's going to be lab assignments. And so any lab assignment, make sure that you either email the TA or if you email me, carbon copy the TA because the TA will be responsible for grading the lab assignments. And if you email me about, say, a grade correction, all I'm going to do is confer with the TA. So it'll be quicker if you email the TA. If you feel like I need to be involved, feel free to carbon copy me, but definitely involve the TA in that. There's also a grader for this course that helps with grading the homework assignments. The TA is a resource you can reach out to for general questions about the course. The grader, the way their contract is set up, is they're just there to handle grade corrections. So if you have questions about the content of a homework assignment, then come to me for that. If there's a question about, oh, I think I may have missed a point when I shouldn't have on this particular assignment, then you can contact the grader. And the information about the TA and the grader, if you go to the Canvas page, right on the front page of the Canvas page, there's a link for instructional staff info, and it has our email addresses, it has student support hours or office hours information, contact preferences, all that's right there. So you can reach out from there. Okay, and all that's again on Canvas. All right, so what do we do in this course? So this course is about simulation. It is not a course about Arena, the software program we use. That is just a tool that we're using to teach you about simulation, specifically something called stochastic simulation or discrete event system simulation. And so along those lines, I know these terms may not make sense right now. They will start to make sense next week. But But basically, I'm not going to go through all of these, but these are the things that we're going to be doing in the course. Basically, we're going to be learning how to model. So we have to think about how to represent the world in a way that we can put into a computer in order to try to make sense of the world. So learning how to represent that world, that's going to be the intellectual work that we do here in the lecture. And then how do we put that into a computer to actually then generate data to make sense of that? That's what goes on in the lab. And in then the kind of second half of the course, then that kind of comes together and we learn about how do we use statistical methods to take the data that we're generating in the lab and then make sense of it in a kind of a rigorous way where we can make compelling arguments about that. So that's the types of things that we're going to be doing. And at the end of the course, then these are the things that I'm expecting you to take away from the course. So again, it's not a course about Arena, this software program that we're using in the lab. It is a course about the act of modeling, the act of gaining knowledge about engineered systems by building computer surrogates of those systems and experimenting with those surrogates. That's what we're getting out here. And because we're doing empirical methods, we're going to be generating data that has a lot of noise. So even though we're building models in the computer, these types of models are ones where every time you rerun the model, you get a different answer out. So that's why we have to use statistical methods to make sense of them, to make sure that a result we got wasn't just due to good luck or bad luck. We have to run multiple replications and then use things like t-tests and ANOVAs and linear models and so on in order to make sense of the different variations of results we get as we run these models. So that's basically an outline of what we're going to be doing over the whole course. This is how we structure it. So there's a pre-midterm section here, which is going to be kind of an introduction to the mathematics or that are required before we can even start simulating. So pre-midterm, we're going to be talking about probability. We're going to be talking about what is a discrete event system simulation? How do we build conceptually, intellectually, these models that we'll end up loading into the computer? That's all kind of pre-midterm. And then in the lab, you're gradually going to start getting to the point where you're going to load those models into the computer. Then post-midterm, we've got the more statistical side of things, where once we've taken things and put things into the computer, we've now generated the data. So how do we make sense of the data that we get out of that computer, statistically speaking? And then how do we use statistics to come up with clever designs so that we don't have to run as many replications? We don't have to run the simulations as long in the computer to make the same compelling arguments out. So that's kind of the big focus. After the midterm. And then we have this final exam here at the end. These are two-stage exams, which I'll explain here in a few slides. I generally get positive feedback on the two-stage exams. So, but let's hold for a second before talking about that. The labs are structured basically this way. So the first couple of labs, these first four labs are an introduction to modeling in general. We talked a little bit about agent-based modeling. And then lab five, so lab one is like next week. So these are each basically weeks. So we don't actually start using Arena, the kind of big discrete event system simulation software, until the fifth lab. So you need to get access to Arena and access to the lab textbook, which I'll talk about in here in a second, in a couple of weeks. But the first lab, like next week, will basically be a paper-based lab. So it's how do we actually start building models of these systems, again, from a conceptual perspective. So we do have this final project that we do in this class that is a group project. And in this final project, we're going to take some time from lab so that you have time to work on some of the data side of this project, which we talk about a little bit as well. And then toward the end here, there'll be a couple of weeks where we don't have any labs because we're supposed to use the lab time towards finishing up that final project. So we try to give you plenty of time in order to work on, we don't want the labs to take away from your final project work. So I mentioned textbooks, prerequisites for this course, basically. It's nice to know a little programming. The type of programming you're going to be doing in Arena is not like the type of programming you've done in Java or in C Sharp or C++ or Objective-C. This is a kind of a graphical-based programming where you draw together diagrams, which represent systems, and then you drill into these diagrams to parameterize them to model these systems. So it's a little bit different than probably what you've seen before, but the same idea of needing to understand logic flow is there. We will revisit statistical topics that you need to know from this course. You'll see a lot of things that hopefully you remember from 380 and 385. Some might be taking like 385 at the same time here. We'll cover everything you need, but it definitely helps if you've seen it before. Textbooks. And so there is this older book, this Banks book. I'll often refer to it as Banks et al. Or Banks et al., I think 2010. This is the book which all of the lecture content comes from. There are homework assignments that refer to exercises out of this book. So that's one reason why it's good to have this book. And the content that I talk about in the lecture is also, I don't present it exactly the same way as they do, but I present it in the same order. So if you like to see it presented a different way, it should be easy enough to find. Now, this is an older book. I have given you some options for accessing this electronically, linked from the Canvas site. The paper copy is always an option, but see Canvas for access options. The other one is the lab text, the simulation with Arena. You're not going to need until we start using Arena, which is again in Lab 5, which is a couple weeks from now. I've also put on Canvas some access options, particularly for older editions of this book. Older editions of this book are technically fine. The downside is that very recently they made a major overhaul in the interface for Arena. And so some of the figures from older versions of the book don't necessarily look a lot like the figures that you see if you actually use the latest version 16.1 of Arena. So you can figure it out though. Like if it says like, go to this menu to find this option. Well, now it's in a ribbon somewhere. So, it takes a little bit of a translation to figure out where these old options are. But if you can do that translation, then the old versions of the textbook would work totally fine. But the newest version of the textbook covers the newest version of Arena. It has all updated graphics and so on. So just something to keep in mind. In the on Canvas, each lecture, I tried to add on to it the part of the lecture textbook that it is associated with. So if you do need a clarification and maybe you're shy and you don't want to reach out to me to ask for that clarification or just want to see it in another form, then this sort of allows you to follow along through the text, where we are. Otherwise, highly recommend, I've sort of mentioned this. If you can get your hands on Arena, it will make life a little easier, especially as you work in the final project. So here are some links here. I'll mention here for the first month or so that there is a student competition that is sponsored by IISc and Rockwell that has a monetary prize and so on. And the project that you can use this competition as part of your final project if you're interested in that. So I'll mention more details about that because the registration period starts like, roughly now-ish until the first, at the end of September, I think, is when the registration closes. So I'll talk more about that next week and in the following weeks throughout up until September as a reminder of that. But it's something to think about as an option for your final project. Otherwise, we will, especially this first couple of weeks, start by doing stats in Excel to start with. And so having access to Excel or Sheets is good. Other tools, though, like you might see options for you to use other stats packages, and that's totally fine. Most of our examples will come out of this kind of lowest common denominator here. Otherwise, there is one lab where we focus on NetLogo, an agent-based modeling tool. So that's another type of modeling other than discrete event system simulation. We'll talk about these distinctions next week. And NetLogo is a free software program. It's funded by NSF. It is available to download on any platform, and it's also available in the labs. And so, if you're interested in that, you can do that. Otherwise, it's really just going to be one lab, and there won't be a lot of other work that you'll do on that. But still, having access to it is not a bad thing. Okay. So, the general structure, and I will pause for questions here once I get through some of this more administrative stuff. I think this will generate more questions. So, this is generally how your grade is broken out. We've got, I will be using clickers in attendance, but attendance is only 5% of your grade. And there's a drop policy. So I drop your lowest five automatically just on Canvas. So occasionally, so not during this class, but during other classes, I will throw up a attendance question or two and or three. And if you they're not graded for correctness, they're graded for sort of, there's a score. You have to submit a result which passes the validity test. So when I scroll down through the results, make sure they all kind of make sense as possible answers to the question I asked. And if you get a majority of them, if you have been answered, then you'll get the attendance score for that day. So, but again, it's very light. It's only 5% of your grade, and the lowest five are dropped. And so every individual class does not contribute very much. So there's a lot of flexibility in attendance. This is more meant to be an opportunity for you to score points for attending, because I do think attending will help, but it's not meant to sort of strongly penalize you for not attending. We've got these ICAs. I have these awful initialisms and acronyms, and now they're just sort of burned into the curriculum, so I'm stuck with them. But these interactive Canvas activities, these are weekly assignments meant to give you extra practice. They are not meant to be a burden. There's only 15 weeks in the course, and there is roughly one every 1 to 2 weeks. So there's not that many of them, and I drop seven. So if you want to do them all, that's great, but there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to just forget them. You say, like, this week's topic, I didn't really feel like I need practice on that, so I might just skip that ICA for this week, and that's totally fine. So there's no judgment against that. It's not like at the end of the semester I'm going to be making decisions about curving grades, and I'm going to look back and see who did their ICAs. Nothing like that. I totally understand. It's your time, so feel free to take, advantage of these drop policies. Otherwise, we have five homework assignments peppered throughout the semester, so not that many of them. I drop your lowest one, except the very last one we capture on an ABET metric, and now one on one of these new maroon quantitative skills metrics that the university uses. And so that's one that very last one is going to be a little more integrative than all the other homework assignments. And I won't give you a solution set because I need to sort of standardize some of the questions that are asked on that one in order to use it as that metric. And so that's one that I can't drop. But the other four, your lowest ones automatically dropped. And I will release the first one next week, probably the beginning of next week. And I'll try to release them as quickly as I can. It's just as quickly as I can update them. And then you can turn them in whenever. I mean, there's a due date, but if you feel like working ahead, you can feel free as long as it's open and available. If you look on the Canvas site, I've got solutions for previous homework assignments that are up there, other sorts of guidance, videos to help with. So there's a lot of resources for each one of those homeworks. Then we have one midterm. I mentioned the two-stage exam. I'll go into that here in a second. I have another slide for that. Final exam is also a two-stage exam. We have this group project. I'll talk about that here in a second. And then the labs, the lowest two are dropped. So there's 10 labs. So the lowest two were automatically dropped from that. And otherwise, the labs are a good chunk of your grade. The final project is a good chunk of your grade. This final project, as I'll show you in a second, is broken up into little parts. So you really, the big deliverables at the end of the semester are not a major fraction, because you end up earning credit on a lot of sort of like earlier deliverables that are just sort of making sure that you're on the right course. So we'll get into that here in a second. Right here, actually. So this is the final project breakdown. So this is a it's a group project. It's sort of a big enough class that it in order to for the deliverables, in order to make it feasible to grade the deliverables, it makes sense to make this in groups. It also sort of helps divide up the work per group. Three to four person groups, nominally four. In special cases, I'll allow for three. This will be something that you're not going to have to start worrying about till after the midterm. But basically, this is a project where you're going to model a real-world system with data that is, with real-world data. Normally, it's from data that you actually gather yourself. So, as a kind of an easy example, maybe you're frustrated with the lines at the Starbucks at the Memorial Union. So, some people might go in and actually measure how often do people arrive at the Starbucks? How long does it take for people to make each type of coffee, and so on and so forth? Load that into a simulation model, propose a change, compare the as-is system to your change system, and that's your simulation project. That's the type of project that we're looking at, the sort of scoping here, where we use that real-world data. Now, some people say, "Oh, my dad owns a guitar factory, and I have a bunch of data about, supply chain data or something like that. Can I use that?" And that's totally fine too. Other people will say, "I found this data set online on this really interesting system. Can I use that data set?" And that's usually fine as well. So as long as there's some source of real-world data of kind of entropy that goes into the system that you'll end up having to model, then that's fine. So we'll talk about that more as the semester goes on, but that's kind of what you've got kind of coming up. But like I said, that 20% is broken up. Kind of right after the midterm, you submit the names of the people in your group, and you get up 1% of that 20. Then a little bit after that, you're going to do this thing called an input modeling report, where you show me that you have access to real world data and you build some models of a fraction of it, and we help you with that in the lab. So that'll be a fraction of it. Ultimately, the big deliverables are your group presentation. So that'll be a video presentation uploaded to Canvas. And so this is not one of those courses we're going to make you sit here for 3 days straight at the end of the semester and watch presentations. You'll upload your video presentation. And then I'll ask you to do probably just one. It's limited by the. So I tried different peer review software that gets bolted onto Canvas, and I haven't quite found one that works really well. So I end up very often just falling back to Canvas, where for group assignments, the most I can ask you to review is one. So one, maybe two. So for each one of these, so your group will upload a video, and then you'll be asked to then watch one other group's video and then fill out a rubric with some comments. And so your video gives you the opportunity to score 4% of the 20, and then your peer review gives you another 1% of that. Similar for the project report, I've got a very specially formatted 4-page report. It's got certain sections that have to be in there. It's sort of, you fill it all in, and then you can add an appendix at the end if you feel like that's necessary. And then you're going to read someone else's report. So the peer reviews are done individually, but these are group assignments here. So that's in the end, each one of these things doesn't contribute that much to your total grade, but the collective of them is 20% of the grade. And so it dilutes some of the other big things like the final exam and the midterm. So hopefully, this is an opportunity again to score points and to do it in a way to learn things without having to stress too much about the grade, both on this assignment and on the assignments it displaces. All right, any questions about the final project before I talk about the two stagers or any other aspect of things I've talked about so far? Okay. All right, so two-stage exams. How many people know what a two-stage exam is? Anybody? Yeah, okay, so it's not widely used. I think especially among engineering faculty. It's something that was introduced to me by faculty from other units, and I thought it's actually been really, I've really enjoyed using them. So what I do for both your midterm and your final exam is we'll have one thing here. These are Canvas based, and so I am going to like so on the day of stage one of the midterm, I will be here and lecture. You can come to lecture and bring a laptop and take the exam here if you want. But I'm going to give you the whole day to do it, and you can take it wherever you want. And whenever you start it, you'll have a 90-minute timer. So that's the 75 minutes of the class plus 15 minutes for technical issues. And so you'll have to get it done by that timer, but you can start it anytime during the day. So you don't have to come to class on that day of that stage one midterm or the stage one of the final exam, but I'll be here in case you do want to come to class and take it here in this space. So the stage one, these are individual exams. And we do them with lockdown browser. So they're just supposed to be you and two pages of cheat sheets and scrap paper, and that's it. Now, after you take that stage one exam, I'm not going to give you the answers and I'm not going to give you your scores. But 2 days later, so let's say Tuesday is stage one of the midterm, then on Thursday, I'll be here in this lecture room. And then you get the exact same exam all day that day as well. So you don't have to come to class that day. And at that point, it's a collaborative exam. And so it's the exact same exam, but you can come to class or elsewhere, or you can use Slack or Discord, and you can chat with each other as long as it's just somebody within the class, and you can discuss the exam and submit the exact same exam again. Your score will be 80% your individual score plus 20% of your group score. And so it's not a makeup exam because you don't get answers or anything like that. After the stage two closes, then you'll get your scores and your answers. But during that time, you don't know the answers, but you do find that the scores go up significantly from the stage one to the stage two. And I generally find that students learn a lot more by talking it through with themselves. And so I usually enjoy it. I'm usually sitting up here at stage two, doing my own work, just kind of eavesdropping. And it's nice to hear the conversations that happen. But again, you don't have to come to class for either one of those. So that's the way these work. The midterm, stage one is going to be on a Tuesday, stage two is going to be on a Thursday. For the final, we do the same thing. Stage one will be on the last Thursday of the last week of classes. And then stage two will be technically scheduled for the day that a normal final exam would be held. But again, I'll be here or the TA will be here during that final exam period. You can come, but you don't have to. So that's how we're going to structure these two. So I'll talk more about this as we get closer to the exam times, but are there any questions about that? Anyone burning questions? Okay. All right. All right. Otherwise, the other assignments here, like I mentioned, there's five homework assignments. The way these things are named is a little funny. So in a homework, I name them for the lecture representing like the last lecture you need in order to do the homework. So homework B1 means you should be prepared to do homework B1 after we finish lecture B1. So that's the idea behind the homeworks. So I'll have the homeworks released hopefully well before the this lecture comes up. The ICAs, the CAMS activities, these practice activities that are auto-graded online, they're named in kind of the reverse way, where they're named for the lecture that you are supposed to practice, you're supposed to use them before that lecture. So ICA A2 will disappear the day of lecture A2, whereas, in principle, homework B1 will open the day of lecture B1. So that's where these names come from. All right. Otherwise, so any questions? Those are all the assignment things. Pretty clear. Yeah. Pardon me. No, well, it's not. So these ICAs, these are the ones where they drop. These are the ones you have an automatic drop seven, and there's basically one per unit, and there's roughly 10-ish units. So there might be like 10 to 14. I forget how many of these ICAs over the whole semester. And again, you drop seven. I think it's probably closer to 10 of these over the whole semester. So it's meant to be, they're not, you're not going to get one of these per lecture, but this is supposed to tell you that, like, oh, the next ICA is available to me is ICA B5 or something like that. That's supposed to say that, like, oh, I see that we're at lecture B1. If I want to submit that, I better submit it before we get to lecture B5. Does that make sense? Yeah, in the back. So late policy is here. So I have a grace period, a no penalty grace period on homeworks, labs, and ICAs. They're all due at 11:59 on whatever that day that I say it is. But then I have a no penalty grace period until 10 a.m. the next day. So, there's none of this, like, you don't have to stress, like, oh, I got it in at 12:05 or whatever. I mean, basically, like, if it was a paper assignment, I wouldn't be grading it overnight. The soonest I'd be grading it would be the next morning. So I just give you this no penalty grace period. Canvas will mark it as late, but it's not going to deduct anything. So if I encourage you to get them in before the due date, but if you happen to need another hour or something like that, that's fine because you've got until 10 a.m. the next day. On the group projects, because of the peer review, I really need all the group projects in exactly by the due date because then I have to assign the peer reviews. So that's one where I don't have a grace period. And then the midterms, because of the stage one, stage two thing, everybody's got to get their stage ones in by the end of the availability period. Because once stage two goes live and becomes collaborative, that's almost like a solution set. So I also can't give grace periods on the two-stage exams. But I'm going to try to give you lots of flexibility on when you get a chance to take stage one and take stage two so that hopefully that isn't an issue. In fact, normally, I didn't codify this in the syllabus. Normally, what I do is I give you a couple of days for stage one and a couple of days for stage two. So, like, I'll say, all right, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, submit your stage one anytime in those. Thursday, Friday, submit your stage two. And that's the availability window, will be the kind of multi-day availability window. That's normally what I do. Yeah. The whole class could work together. I mean, like, that if everybody would like to come in on stage, then it's only 20% of the grade, of the that midterm grade, like that day, if everybody wanted to come here, and then, like, if you pick the person who you think must have gotten 100% to just have them be surrogate lecturer, you could do that. That's not normally what happens. Normally what happens is people self-organize a little bit. There'll be like a group of like eight students sitting over here, and they'll be kind of talking to each other, and there'll be one or two students that every once in a while might be kind of like listening in, but kind of working alone here. And then everybody else will just be at home. So it's up to you. Other questions? Okay. If you do need, so again, I try to program in a lot of flexibility, a lot of drops, so that we don't have to worry too much about excused absences and things like that. If something does come up where you are worried about, needing something in excess of the drops and the late policies and so on, and it is due to like a medical excuse, things like that, as soon as you know, let me know. And if you're, of course, if you're in the hospital, you don't have to let me know ahead of time, but as soon as you're healthy. So it's not like, I don't want to get one of these things like, oh, I didn't turn in homework B5 3 weeks ago because I was sick. But I've been well for the last 2 weeks. I just forgot to tell you. Like that wouldn't count. So as soon as you're capable, let me know if you do have one of these excused absences. But again, hopefully there's enough flexibility that you don't have to worry about that too much. Grade corrections, if you do get a grade back from the grader, from the lab TA, from me, that's when the kind of a clock starts. Then you got a week. So again, I'm just trying to, it's a big enough class that it's really difficult if we get a bunch of grade corrections in the last week of classes for things that are earlier. So we set this 1 week timeout. So you get your grade back, you get a notification that it's been graded, check it. And if there's an issue, then just come back to us within that week and that's fine. Otherwise, if it goes a week, we assume you're okay with that grade. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, so I just have to mention this at the end of the semester. I discussed curving, all that. Sometimes we get awkward conversations where people will say, I know I didn't do well on this assignment or that assignment, but if I could just get another couple points, it helps me keep my scholarship or something like that. And those sorts of things that aren't related to academic merit, those are actually in the ACD are explicitly listed as academic misconduct. And at that point, I have no choice but to report it. And so we do that. So try not to, I mean, if you're looking, if really, if we miss something, like, oh, sorry, I wrote a seven here, you thought it was a two, as you know, that sort of thing, definitely let us know. But if it's one of these other things where it's not related to your merit in this course, then we can't make any adjustments. And if you ask for them, then I have to report it. Otherwise, I provide a bunch of material online. All the lectures are already out there. I am, whenever technically possible, I video record the lectures and post them within 24 hours of the class, usually shorter than that. So there's a lot of material that's already out there that hopefully will be helpful to you. But let's keep that within the class, though. Don't distribute that elsewhere. If you do take your own notes, I mean, theoretically, you can sell your notes, but that's actually ASU views it as, again, an academic misconduct issue. So that is something that you're not allowed, even though it's legally permissible for you to sell your notes, it is academic misconduct. So just try to keep everything related to this class in this class. Unapproved collaboration. So almost everything has been listed as an individual assignment, homeworks, labs, midterm, final exam, except for the stage twos of those. These are all things that are explicitly listed as individual assignments. That means that I'm expecting the work to reflect your individual understanding. So I understand that there would be some things like we're going to talk about definitions of what is an entity versus an event and these sorts of things. And you might, study with your friends and say, hey, could you clarify this? And that's fine. But when you're actually submitting that homework assignment, that needs to reflect, it needs to come straight from you. So, from your head onto, your paper, your keyboard. So that's what we mean by an individual assignment. So we don't want you, I mean, of course, you can talk about the homework assignments to others, but we don't want you working together where it's like I'm asking you to come up with 10 unique examples of different discrete event system simulations. I don't want someone else coming up with 20 and giving you 10 or something like that. So that's what we mean by unapproved collaboration. So don't do that. And, it gets awkward, like so, especially like in Arena, like because a lot of you haven't seen, like a lot of you know about the metadata and Microsoft Word and whatever. Well, like Arena stores this as well, and the lab TA is very good at noticing when metadata matches on like these Arena files that are uploaded. And we've had a bunch of cases where students they end up borrowing a model file from another student and uploading it as their own, and it gets caught. And normally that would be like a zero on the assignment, but I have to report it. And when I report it, engineering reveals that, oh, that student may have had another such infraction in another course. And at that point, it's like an automatic E, and if it's their third, then that is it gets even more. So like once things get to this point, like you end up finding yourself having to retake the whole course or other sorts of things. And so it just isn't worth it. And if we catch it, like we are obligated to report it. And if like it like I've had the lab team will come to me, I'll get an email, it'll say, hey, I got this submission, and this other student's name is in this model file. And otherwise, the model files like look like the exact same diagrams. At that point, my hands are tied. All I can do is then send it to the dean's office, and then it's up to them. So try to, again, add your individual flair to every submission. Otherwise, we do have these in-class attendance exercises. We're not going to do one today, but there are different things that will show up in my lectures. So occasionally you'll see a slide that looks like this. So of course I want to encourage you, if you have any questions, you should raise your hand but if you don't want to give a question, but you're interested in raising a question at that moment, you're afraid of it, you're going to forget about it. Then I will throw up this thing, which is, it's again, it's call for in-class questions, but feel free to also use this link, which I actually need to make sure that I've updated this for this semester. But use this link to submit questions online as well. When the flow works, I will be looking for those questions up here. But when it doesn't work in class, I'll review these right after class, and I can post responses, to these anonymous questions on Canvas, in the discussion boards, and so on. So that's an opportunity there to submit questions anonymously. Then the iClicker one. So this is a sample. We're not going to do this today, but starting next week. So we do use iClicker. So I've sent out a note about registering. If you have not registered for iClicker, do so. If you have, make sure you're connected to the class. And so we will have iClicker questions, two or three maybe per class. And they might be in the middle of the lecture, they might be at the end of the lecture, they might be the very start of the lecture. And we're not looking for correctness, we're just looking for something that makes sense. So if it's a sensical answer to the question, then you'll get credit for that. And we're just looking for a majority of those to get your attendance credit for that day. Again, attendance, you drop the lowest five, and it's only 5% of your grade. It's just an opportunity to earn credit. It's not supposed to penalize you. I totally get it if you have to miss class. So that's what those will look like. Otherwise, I mean, that's pretty much all I've got for you today. So the big things is, like I just said, register with iClicker. There is a unit zero, which has that lab zero exercise. Do that, and that will unlock the rest of the course if you get 100% on that unit zero activity. There is no lab. The TA will not be in the lab today. So there's no lab you have to worry about today. And in general, it's very flexible. If you want, start reading ahead chapter one. There's an ICA assignment that's out there, and lab one you can take a look at. The content for lab one will be given to you next week. So any last questions? If not, have a nice weekend. We'll see you next week. Is that okay? Okay.